Amen. Good morning. Again, my heart is drawn to this theme of worship. I think one of the main fruit that is being birthed out of the revival we see happening, signs, wonders, healings, many great things happening, but God is reviving the true spirit of worship from His people. He's activating our spirits to give Him what He's looking for, a worship that is in spirit and in truth. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 15 in just a minute. But one of the inner core issues that we face is, how do we please God? We're created in the image of God, and so that quest inside is there. Even people that are caught up in the world, that's why people get caught up with idolatry, because we're created to worship God. We're created to worship. So if we don't know God, we're going to become attached to other things. That's why I love those scriptures in 1 John, the one that says, and this is eternal life, to know Him. Next verse, little children, beware of idols. You're going to be attached. You're going to worship something. But having the Spirit of God in our hearts means that we can worship the true Creator, our Heavenly Father. And that's what we're seeking for. In Acts chapter 15, what was happening was some of the Pharisees were stirring up trouble, saying, unless you're circumcised according to the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. And the apostles got together and they were discussing this, what to do about it. You think, well, it should be obvious. I mean, salvation's by the grace of God. Why would this be an issue? Why would they even be talking about circumcision? Because again, a very core issue to being human and a very core issue of our religious side is how we please God. And there's that part of us that feels guilt, feels condemnation, feels that sense that we're not worthy, that we have to somehow prove ourselves to God. We have to do some kind of circumcision. We have to follow some kind of law. We have to perform a certain way in order for God to be happy. God looks at us and says, I'm seeking worship from you. And we look back at God and somehow we just don't hear that. Deep down inside we have these fears that, God, you're really looking for me to perform or to produce something in myself that you can say, good, well done. So that's what the Pharisees, this question the Pharisees was stirring up was such a controversial issue. They weren't saying that Jesus Christ was not real or that you couldn't be saved. What they were saying is you've got to add the law of Moses to make it work. Here's the reply. Verse 8. It says, and God, who can't be fooled by any pretense on our part, but knows our thoughts, gave them the Holy Spirit just as us. This is Peter speaking. Peter's sharing with them, saying, God, who can't be fooled by us, no matter what kind of front we try to put on, what kind of image we try to portray, God sees right through it. He gave the Holy Spirit, speaking of the Gentiles, just like us. Why do we put God to the test by placing upon the neck of our disciples a yoke neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe we are saved by the grace of our Lord Jesus, as are they. What is Peter saying? He's saying, listen, under the time of law, they couldn't get it right. So why are we now going back to that and putting a yoke on our shoulders that no one's been able to carry before? Discipleship is not carrying the yoke of legalism. The easy, the light load that Jesus was talking about, being a disciple, come to me. What was he talking about? The yoke is a yoke of faith and worship and love. It's not something that weights us down and oppresses. It's something that lifts us up into his presence. So this is Peter speaking to him. And then Paul and Barnabas talked about the signs and wonders that were taking place. among the Gentiles. Again, how they were receiving the Holy Spirit. So this whole thing of circumcision that was trying to get in there saying, you've got to do something to please God. You've got to produce some kind of self-righteousness. The apostles were opposing and saying, no, that's not how it works. God is giving His Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. They haven't followed our laws. And look, they're receiving the same gift. It's by grace. Now, James in verse 13 speaks, and he's kind of leading this seminar or time of meeting of the apostles. James answered and said, Peter told us how God at the very onset made sure outsiders were included. So what he's saying there is God from the very onset has wanted to include the Gentiles in this plan of salvation. Verse 16, after these things I'll return to rebuild the tabernacle of David. You find that in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. Now James is speaking prophetically here, saying this is what God is doing. Not restoring the tabernacle of Moses, but the tabernacle of David. And what does that signify? The tabernacle of worship. To rebuild the tabernacle of David, I will restore it so outsiders who seek will find. They'll have a place to come to. This is a true witness of grace. In the midst of all this turmoil, the legalists trying to get in there, James speaks the word of God and says, the tabernacle that's being restored is the one that David built. God is looking for worship. And worship is that testimony to the outsiders, to the Gentiles. When there's true worship taking place, the grace of God will be revealed. Amen. And people will come to know the Lord. You know, worship, we limit it too much. We limit it to worship is when I'm singing certain songs. That's an expression of worship.
Yes.
Worship is an attitude of heart that is freed of legalism. Amen. It's freed from the poison of the self-image we've created of ourselves. Trying to be self-righteous, trying to perform. Worship is an attitude that's rooted in the grace of God, and all you're doing is you're expressing your love back to Him. You're expressing your heart, engaging with the Spirit of God. Now we think, well, how could that be all that He's looking for? There's so much work to be done on planet Earth. There's got to be these, not just good works, there's got to be supernatural works to clean up this mess. If God has a people that worship Him in spirit and in truth, out of that worship comes the testimony. That is the light that will penetrate the darkness on this planet. That is the light that will end the futility that's causing all these problems. But the big question we need to ask is, if God doesn't get that worship, are we going to see much change? What we think God wants from us, what we think we owe Him, is far different from what He's looking for. What we think in our natural mind, what He wants is some law. In the case of Israel, there was over 600 laws to follow. Or we're looking for just some kind of performance. If I was just a certain type of person, do you think this way? If you know, you're aware of your personality, you're aware of your faults. If I could just tweak these certain things and get these certain things right, that's what God is looking for. No, that's what you're looking for. You want to look good. God's not interested in that. God looks and says, worship me. Give me your heart. What is worship? Romans 12. We come to Him as we are. We give Him ourselves, just as we are. That honest, open attitude. Being transparent before Him. Saying, Father, I'm yours. Abba, Father, that cry deep within us. God's not after an image. He's after our heart.
Yes.
He's after our life, to lay it all before Him. How is worship activated? Through the Holy Spirit. Worship is that place of rest inside. We're resting from our own soulish striving of trying to please God. And you think, well, how can I do it? That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth. We don't do it. I can sing a song. I can make myself sing a song. But I cannot worship without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit activates that part of our being, the worship. Now, are we doing something? Of course we're doing something. We're actively involved in it. But it's by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit He's put within us. Worship is true freedom. The end of legalism, or the false belief that we can produce through self-effort a lifestyle that pleases God. So the question is, what tabernacle are we trying to rebuild in this hour? The tabernacle of Moses? We're going to be obedient to all these rules and laws, and every church has their own set of principles and things you need to follow. Do we think that's what God is looking for? Because if we do, then we're always trying to find that right church that has the right rules. And then we get involved in that, and we find we can't do it anyway, and so we live under condemnation. That's not the will of God. No, He's wants to activate the tabernacle of David, that worship. That's what He's rebuilding. Now, does it mean that obedience is not important? How do we define obedience? For most of us, it's following the rules, following the laws. But under New Covenant life, obedience is being led by the Spirit.
Yes.
Nobody can follow the rules perfectly. But every one of us is capable of being led by the Holy Spirit that He's put within us. Those that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. That's what obedience is about. Under Old Covenant, obedience was about doing certain things, not doing certain things. Under New Covenant, obedience is a spirit. Letting God lead your heart, lead your mind, lead your life in the way that He wants you to go. That all comes from an attitude of worship. The Holy Spirit awakens us to the Father. He awakens us to be aware of how hard isn't the right word, but how much the Father is seeking us out. How much God desires true fellowship with us.
Amen.
Our minds and our religious minds will never make us aware of that. And if we stay stuck in a religious mindset, what we'll always be thinking is, God is someplace else. Just show me how to get there and I'll do my best to get there. The truth of worship, worship is a level of awareness that we don't have to get to any place. We've already arrived.
Yes.
He's in us.
Yes.
We're the temple of the Spirit. God indwells us. So worship doesn't have that element of striving to get to somewhere where you never can quite get there. But it's an awareness of who you're abiding in. And then you can give your whole heart to it. A worshiper is obedient. Because out of that, again, out of that awareness of being in His Spirit, we realize that we can be led by His Spirit. We can do the things He wants us to do. We can come to that place like Jesus. I only do what I see the Father doing. That wasn't a striving on the part of Jesus every day saying, okay, God, let's see, what ten people you want me to heal today? You want me to go to this certain city? And you know how we get all worked up. Am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Am I in the right place? No, Jesus worshiped the Father. And in that communion, He was simply aware of what God was doing. And He was led by that awareness. So He perfectly fulfilled the will of the Father. I guess worship really is a reality when our religious striving ends. You can't have both. The expression, let go and let God, I keep thinking about that. Let go of the striving. Let God, as that awareness that you're put on this earth to be a king and a priest and to worship him. Father, in all our hearts there's that deep cry that we can't even put into words. The cry of knowing our oneness with you, being able to express our love to you, to live in you, that cry for your life. We ask this morning that you awaken each and every one of us through your Holy Spirit to this attitude, to this quality of worship that we need in this hour. Let it be something that grows within us and brings us into that place of awareness of who you are and who we are in you. Amen.